How do you preach after that? Sure, I'm just overcome just with a gratitude to the Lord that we can share in meeting with Him, and that He comes in a way that always meets us at our expectation, but also supersedes our expectation. That maybe you walked in here this morning and things are going tough in your life, and you didn't have any expectation this morning to actually meet with the Lord. And I'm pleased to say that God does not only meet us at our expectation, that He also meets us in spite of us not having expectation. And that it's all up to Him, and that He loves to be with us more than what we actually sometimes love to be with Him. And so just rest in that assurance this morning that God is for us and that He loves us. Thank you, Stuart, for that word. It's really powerful. God really loves us. I want to start this morning with a story. This is something that I don't always do, but I felt a story for us this morning. So I'm going to read a story, and then I'll dive into what I'm feeling the Lord wants to deposit for us this morning. So the story is called The Two Gardeners. There was once a great king who owned a vast, beautiful garden. He called two servants and gave each of them a plot to tend. To the first he said, "I want you to care for my rose garden. Trim it, water it, and keep it fragrant. I love to walk among the roses each morning." And to the second he said, "You will tend the orchard, care for the trees, and in time I'll come to taste the fruit." And both were honored. Both began well. Every morning one knelt among the roses, the other worked among the fruit trees. The king would walk through his garden smiling at both, pleased with the beauty of their work. But after a while, the rose gardener noticed the orchard. He saw the tall trees, the bright leaves, the fruit hanging heavy, and he thought to himself, "Look at that, everyone can see his work. My roses are small, they bloom and wither. His trees bear fruit and lasts. Maybe what I do doesn't matter as much." So he spent more time watching the orchard than tending his roses. He'd walk to the fence, stare at the trees, and sigh. Meanwhile, his roses began to wilt. Weeds grew, the fragrance faded, and one day the king came to inspect his garden. He rejoiced at the orchard, which was fruitful and full. And when he walked into the rose garden, his face fell. The flowers were dying. The beauty was gone. He turned to the rose gardener and said gently, "Why have you neglected what I gave you?" The man bowed his head and said, "My lord, I wanted my garden to be like his." The king placed his hand on his shoulder and said, "I never asked you to grow fruit. I asked you to grow beauty. Each garden pleases me in its own way, but only when it's cared for." Then the king said, "Do not look at his trees. Tend your roses. That is how you honor me." And so just based off that story, I think you guys can assume where I'm going with this morning. But just off the back of 2 weeks ago, Roland was here, and he preached about inheritance and that we need to contend for our inheritance and press into our inheritance. And immediately, I was reminded of a story in the Bible, and we're going to look at this text this morning. I'm going to try to unpack what I believe the Lord wants to say to us this morning. And I was immediately reminded that at the time when the Lord calls you or gives you a portion or an inheritance, and you can go into the Bible and you can see this pattern play out over and over again, the first thing that creeps into the heart of man is comparison. And so the title of my sermon this morning is Comparison, the Thief of Fruitfulness. Okay? And so we're going to look at John chapter 21, verse 20 to 22. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. I want to unpack this for us this morning. It says, Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, "Lord, who will betray you?" Peter asked Jesus, "What about him, Lord?" And Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me." So let me just paint a picture of what happened here. So this is after the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples were out catching fish, and obviously they didn't catch anything. And Jesus stood at the shore and shouted to them to throw their nets on the other side. And long story short, they come back onto the beach side, and Jesus had prepared a meal for them. And this is the moment where Jesus sits down with Peter, and it's almost like a recommissioning of Peter. If you guys remember, Peter's the disciple who betrayed Jesus three times. And in this, just before this this portion of scripture, Jesus is asking Peter, "Will you feed my sheep? Will you feed my lambs? Do you love me?" And then he goes on to give Peter almost a snapshot into his future and how he will glorify Jesus by dying and being hung on a cross in the same way. He was just hung upside down. If you look at history, Peter was actually crucified. And I find it so interesting that I would think, yes, Peter, you betrayed Jesus, and here Jesus is giving you a second chance by actually calling you into the ministry that he has for you. And you know what Peter's first response is? What about John? I'm like, really, Peter? You've just received the calling of your life, and your concern is, what is going to happen to John? And I want to say that once your attention starts shifting into another person's calling, you stop running in yours. Now, growing up, some of you, I think all of you would have experienced this. Maybe you were in primary school, you had to run a race. And I remember growing up, there was one boy that was always faster than me. And before the race even started, I was so concerned about having to beat him that I ended up never actually focusing on running the race. And I remember starting off running, and immediately my eyes would turn towards, where is he? And if you know that, sometimes you maybe drive past a nice car and your eyes look at the car. Before you know it, you're actually in that lane. And the point is this, that what we focus on, our eyes drift towards. And so comparison doesn't just distract us, it disorientates us. It makes your calling look smaller than the next person. And sometimes I believe that it can actually mean that we move from being grateful for what the Lord has given us in our inheritance, and it actually turns into grumbling. You see, Peter received a cross, and John received a pen. Different paths, but the same purpose, which is to glorify Jesus. And so I want to just unpack three things for us this morning that we can look at Jesus' response to Peter, just what we can learn from what comparison actually does in our hearts. So Jesus replies to Peter and he says, if I will that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And I want to just say that Jesus is not irritated by Peter. Right? Jesus is not irritated by Peter's question, but he also does not answer Peter's question. He actually just redirects his attention. And he says, what is that to you? You follow me. And that's clarity in one sentence. You follow me. Our job is not to understand what I'm doing with others. So our job is not to understand what God is doing with others. Our job is to obey what he is doing in us. And the Lord calls us not to comparison, but to concentration. He's not calling us to rivalry, but to response. That we respond to him, that in the kingdom there's no such thing as competition. And so these are the three things that I want to just draw out from Jesus' words to Peter this morning. The first thing is that comparison distracts us. Peter's eyes were on John instead of on Jesus. He couldn't in that moment take in the gravity and the weight of what Jesus was actually calling him to. What a high honor that you would be called to be a martyr for Jesus. If you go look in the book of Revelation, there's a great honor that comes to those who are martyred for Christ's sake. And instead of that, he's concerned about John. And you cannot walk in your purpose while watching someone else's progress. I'll say that again. You cannot walk in the purpose that God has for you while you are so concerned with someone else's progress. The second thing is that the calling of God is personal. Jesus didn't say to Peter, follow me like John. He simply said, you follow me. That means your walk, and this is a difficult one that we struggle with, your timeline, your struggles, your victories, they're handcrafted by God for you. The Bible says that God has prepared works beforehand that we would walk in them. That for each one of us here this morning, there's a specific path that God has carved out for you to walk in. Your calling is personal, and it's your responsibility to take up what God has called you to and to be faithful to what He's called you to. That brings me to my third point, that faithfulness is focus. God isn't looking for people who are the best at what they do. He's looking for people who are faithful. And at the end of your life, God won't ask you, why weren't you more like Derek? Or why weren't you more like Nian or like Keenan? He will ask you, were you faithful with what I gave you? I want to remind us that we are part of a body. And that just like this body needs different members to operate, can you imagine my finger having to kick a ball? Or my ear having to try to recognize your face? It's impossible. Each member of your body has a specific role that it needs to fulfill. And just like you know, you have to wear glasses if that part of your body suffers a little bit, there's things that help you. In the same way, if you do not walk in the fullness that God has called you to, the body suffers. Paul is clear in the book of Corinthians that he speaks about how each member brings what God has given them in terms of their gifting, so that together we are all built up into the fullness of the stature of Christ. And I want to say that if you are sitting here this morning and you see yourself as part of this congregation, and you are not actively pursuing the Lord and walking fully, and I'm not saying that you need to be at the peak of your calling, but at least walking in obedience to what the Lord has called you to, I want to be as bold as to say that you are robbing us of seeing the fullness of Jesus in our midst. We say this often, that we cannot afford in this congregation for bench warmers. You know what a bench warmer is? It's someone who sits on the sidelines and just watches the rest of the team play the game. And what I've seen, so there's been a season in my life where I've had to sit on the bench. And you know what I realized crept into my heart at those times, besides comparison? Do you know what's the other thing that comes with comparison? Criticism. We are sitting on the sideline, coaching how well the game should be played and never actually playing the game. And so I want to challenge us this morning that the Lord has a specific call for your life. If you don't know it yet, I'm sure that He will speak to you. And that you have a purpose and a calling in this congregation to bring your gift and to walk in everything that the Lord has for you. So I want to look at four things and how we can apply this into our life this morning. I'm almost done. How do we follow Jesus personally today? So if you are struggling with comparison, I want to encourage you with these four things. The first thing is stop comparing and start committing. Every minute spent comparing is a minute lost in cultivating. Look up, not around. Look to Jesus. Stop comparing, start committing. The second one is one that is really, really challenges our pride. It challenges our selfishness. And this is something that I believe that is a breakthrough for us in actually dealing harshly and decisively with comparison. And I've struggled with this one multiple times in my walk with the Lord. And I think it's because we grow up in a culture where competition is celebrated. And this is the second one. Celebrate others' victories. Celebrate others' victories. Do you know that when God blesses someone, their victory isn't your defeat? Their fruit isn't your failure. And I've had to deal with this personally in my walk with the Lord for years, where I felt I was qualified to be something in ministry. And then people who I didn't recognize as even gifted or walking with the Lord would get promoted. And in that moment, I would say to myself, yo, I don't have competition in my heart until that happens. And then you see this ugly thing come out from your heart where you start thinking, yo, I'm better than that person. Or I can do better. Or I can lead worship better. Why haven't they asked me to lead worship at 412 conference? It's these things that we need to own, recognize in our lives, and really put to death. The Bible tells us that we must kill sin. These are not things that we should be entertaining in our hearts, guys. We should be ruthless when these things come, because actually they keep us in a place of limbo, and it keeps us in a place of unfruitfulness. Celebrate others' victories. Number three, stay faithful in the small things. God sees every unseen act of obedience. And if you are faithful with the little things, He will entrust you with the much. That's what the Bible says. And I also want to say here, because sometimes we can read that scripture, and even in reading that promise, flesh can still be revealed in our hearts. And you know how it does that? It's because our goal then becomes aiming for the much and not just being a faithful son. Right? So when you hear that scripture, if you are faithful with the little, then you will be faithful with the much. He will entrust you much. And so we just do the faithfulness in the little things so that we can get the much. I want to say that the prize is the faithfulness. Whether it's big or small, be faithful. That is the win for us. And the last one, keep your eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. And so the call for us as we are disciples in Jesus and how we can combat this comparison thing in our heart is that we keep our eyes on Jesus, that we put our hands to the plow, and that we surrender our hearts to whatever He has for us. And so I want to just remind us that at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus gives Peter a simple and powerful call. You follow me. Not follow me if others approve. It's not follow me if your path looks easy. Just follow me. Simple. You, Luanri, follow me. Rita, follow me. Danin, follow me. This is God's call. He calls you by name to follow Him. And ultimately, God is honored by obedience. We talk in our culture of love languages. The love language of Jesus is obedience. So today, maybe you've been looking around, watching someone else's orchard. Maybe you've neglected your own rose garden and asking, why haven't I walked in the things that the Lord has promised me? Could it be that you've been looking around? Some of you received prophetic words from the Lord years ago and you still haven't walked in what the Lord has for you. Maybe it's because you are so concerned about other person's promotion that you have not been faithful with what the Lord has spoken to you about years ago. And this is the words of Jesus this morning. What is that to you? You follow me. Tend your roses. Run your race. Walk your lane. And when He comes back, may He be able to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, for what He has entrusted to us and what we've been faithful with. And so I want to pray for us, that we would really, firstly, understand if we go back, and I want to encourage you to go and listen to the sermon that Roland preached if you weren't here. If you were here, go and listen to it again. And then listen to this again, that we would search our hearts where if there's any fruit or any seed of comparison in our life, that we would really put it to death. So I want to pray for us. Maybe you identify with that, and maybe that's you this morning, and you need to just be recalibrated again this morning, saying, Lord Jesus, I want to be faithful with the task that You have given me to do. So I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You've got work for us to do. And we thank You, Lord, that for each one of us, You've not only just paid the price for us that we can be free, but You've also called us to good works, Lord. That for each one of us here this morning, You've got a specific call, a specific work to do that would glorify You. Lord, I pray for us here this morning who do not know what that call is, that you would speak to us, Lord, so that we'd know what we are called to do. And then for the rest of us, God, that you would find us faithful to do that which you've called us to, God, that we wouldn't look to the left or to the right, that we would run in our lane, God, that we would not be disqualified from the race, God, but that we would be faithful. Lord, we fix our eyes on you this morning and say that you are the author and perfecter of our faith, God. Strengthen us. Keep our gaze on you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that we can run this race and that we would glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.